25 years of studying the course is to read it. And when I read it, what I'm going to do sometimes is substitute some of the terminology in the book for its definition. Everybody with me on that?
Yeah.
So, like this is, if the court said the sonship means creation, then when I see sonship, I may say creation, or I may say both of them. But I want to do the translation so we can really hear what it's saying. Because the Course in Miracles says stuff that just kind of twists your mind from the very first sentence. Like, you cannot understand yourself alone. See? The Course in Miracles sentence. You cannot understand yourself by yourself. How would you know this? These are very obvious truths, actually. Then it says, this is because the mind have a tendency to want to figure that out. And what do you mean by I can't understand myself alone? Well, it says, that's because you have no meaning apart from your rightful place in the sonship, and the rightful place of the sonship is God. So you don't have a meaningful place apart from your rightful place in God. Your only meaning is that you have a rightful place in love. That's what you mean. And I like to say, that's what I mean. I mean, I have a rightful place in love. I mean that. I have a rightful place in love. That's my meaning. I have a rightful place in happiness. Okay? Then it says, that's God. He says, this is your life, your eternity, and yourself. He says, it's of this that the Holy Spirit reminds you, that this is your life, this is your eternity, this is yourself. This is your life, 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 this is your life. I had to break it to you, but guess what? This is your life. This is your life. However your life feels right now, this is your life right now. This is your life. But you have a real life. You have a life beyond this life. This life is an eternal life that never ends. You have an eternal life that never ends, and that's yourself. Okay, that's right there on the page. This is your life, your eternity, and yourself. It is this the Holy Spirit reminds you. It's this that the Holy Spirit sees. So, the Holy Spirit, the Course says, is the same mind, the same part of your mind. That's how it describes it. That is the holiest part of you. It's the part of you that's not crazy. Okay, are we clear?
Yeah.
Okay. And the Course says, the part of you that's not crazy reminds you that this is your life, this is your eternity, this is yourself. Think about that. Your same man is saying to you, this is your life. Hey, psst, it's not a dress rehearsal. This is your life. Psst, this is your life. Your life. This is it. This is yourself. And you are eternal. That's what a sane man, a loving man, the Holy Spirit reminds you of. He said, that's also what your sane man sees. Your sane man, when you become sane, you go, this is myself. This is my life. This is my eternity. This is myself. This is my life. This is my eternity. What I love about the Course in Miracles is how many friggin' classes do you go to and hear something like that?
None.
Even though they all saying this, for some reason when the Course says it, I hear it. But you know, not that I haven't heard this in other books, but there's something weird about this book. If I read it in this book, I hear it. Anybody know the experience I'm talking about? It can be the same thing you've heard in other books. But if you like into this book, you immediately get smacked. Anybody got Course smacked?
Yeah.
I mean, y'all, that's right. Course smacked. It'll happen to you if I keep reading. He says, now, this frightens, this is an important sentence. He says, this vision frightens your ego because it's so calm. Peace is your ego's greatest enemy. Peace is the greatest enemy to your fearful mind. The last thing you want to scare a frightened person, give them some peace. That's what this book just said. Nothing frightens a man in conflict more than peace, because according to a man of conflict's interpretation of reality, war is the guarantee of your fearful man's survival. Because your fearful mind, that's the ego, your fearful thought, your ego, your separate identity, the ego, the part of you that thinks you own your own, the ego, the part of you that believes you are a body, the ego, okay? The ego is the part of you that thinks you are a body. Isn't that a trip? So if you're sitting up here thinking you're a body, you are your ego. You are a living embodiment of your own ego if you believe you are your body. You're a living embodiment of your own fear if you think you are your body. Let me tell you that in the class. You think you are your own fear if you believe you are a body. Because it's the body where all the fear is located. And all the fear is around thoughts about the body. Something about the body's concern. Something about the body's care. Can y'all see that with me? That if you're going to be honest, your fears are all surrounded caused by your bodily identity. You know, I was doing something this morning and I hit my arm, and then, you know, piece of flesh came off, you know. And I said, what am I doing in something so fragile? I must be out of my convicting mind. You know, that's what I said. I said, what am I doing in something this fragile? And of course, calls the body fragile, and I get all upset. But it's the truth. It is fragile. One little thing scrape up against me, and there I am with a little ugly mark on my ashy arm. Okay.
On your what?
On my ashy arm. It's all full of ashy looking. I look like I haven't had no lotion on it in millions of like. I think the last time I put some lotion on this arm was 1832. I was a Quaker. I saw it. I had the little buckle. I had the little pointed hat, the buckle shoes, and I was like growing stuff. And I was going, wow, that's deep. Then I had this really fun life while I was a prostitute who saved a bunch of orphans from a burning orphanage. I had to do something to make up for the times I had with the soldiers. You know? So it says, and I love this too, it says, your ego, the ego becomes strong in strife. It means your fear becomes stronger the more you're in strife. The more you're in conflict and the more you're upset, your fear becomes strong. So the ego part, the human separate part, becomes strong in strife. And it says that. It's through the pains and the challenges that I become strong. So we believe it's through the things we go through that we become strong. Is that true? I'm just checking with you. The Course says, well, that's what the ego does. The ego believes in strength through conflict. That if you can have all your problems and you can have all your upsets, and you're going to become strong. The fearful part of the man becomes strong in conflict, which is strife. Okay. Now, with the Course in Miracles, in order to hear it, is important. It says to remember that you do not need to believe the ideas. If you think you have to believe it, it makes it harder to hear it. So we're just asking you. Just hear it. Don't try to believe it yet. Then you'll listen to it. Okay? So, I'll say it again. The ego, which is the human mind, becomes strong in strife. If you believe there is strife, you will react viciously. Right? If I think I'm in trouble, I will react. If I think I'm in danger, I will react viciously. The book, you can see everything it says as it says. He says, the reason why you are reacting viciously, the reason why your fearful mind is reacting viciously, the reason why you just went off on your coworker, the reason why you're mad at yourself, the reason why you're reacting viciously is because the idea of danger has entered your mind. You are reacting viciously because you believe you are in danger. We're not nice people because we believe we're in danger. That's what the Course says. You know, the world is the way it is because people believe they are in danger. Anybody don't see that? If you're that much in denial, it's the wrong class. Okay, now, Course in Miracles is not popular with people in denial. Because you have to have a willingness to look at your values like you never have in your life to do this material. If you're one of these people that don't want to look at all your thoughts, you don't need to be studying the Course of Miracles. I'm serious now. I'm telling you. Because it really, really makes you get real with yourself in a way you probably never even considered it. If your happiness depends on believing that you're a nice person. Because a person who believes that they have to be a nice person in order to be okay, then they can't look at their whole man. They have to only look at the nice parts. But the rest of the parts are there too. And those parts are still doing their thing, still manifesting, still creating, but you can't get rid of them because you're too nice to look at them.
That's so good.
God, that's really good.
Yeah, I mean, and I promise you, I don't have that problem. That is an Earl's problem. I'm not too nice that I can't look at myself. I guarantee you. The fun didn't start until I started looking at my shadow side, my dark side. Hell, the fact I was born black was my hint. So obviously this life was a life to be about my shadow side.
Duh. I'm dark, y'all.
Okay. The race thing doesn't trip me out because I know I'm not my race. So I can have fun with being black because I know I'm the Holy Son of God. I'm not this body. I'm a spiritual being. I'm beyond this. And so are you. You know, we just take it too serious.
No kidding.
I'm telling you, man, we're like puppets gone wild. This really going to be my television show. No, better yet, a whole film series, Puppets Gone Wild. You know. Because that's who we are, Puppets Gone Wild.
Would you be the reality show then?
Yeah, I'd be a good reality show, Puppets Gone Wild. Yeah, so, did y'all hear that? This is deep, y'all. It says, the reason why we act the way we do, we believe there is strife, we react viciously because the idea of danger has entered our minds. You're not guilty. You just believe you're in danger. And because you believe you're in danger, you're sometimes vicious. And I am too. Sometimes we get angry. That's what we're afraid. We think we're in danger. We don't get mad at people that we think mean us well.
That's for sure.
Yeah, we get mad at people we think are some kind of a threat. Okay, so that's because, so it's natural to react viciously when you're afraid and believe you're in danger. It's a natural reaction to react viciously if you believe you're in danger. So don't beat yourself up about the way you act when you're afraid. You're acting the way a crazy person acts. You ought to be proud. Okay. I did something right once in my life. I did craziness and broke real good. So then it says the idea that you are in danger, the idea itself is an appeal to your ego. The idea that you are in danger is an appeal to your fear. The idea that I am in danger is an appeal to my ego. Ego is fear. So when I'm in danger, I'm calling for fear. I believe I'm in danger, fear, would you come to me? Fear, come to me. I believe I'm in danger, fear, come to me. With me? And he says, the ego, which is the part of your mind that is sane, the Holy Spirit, the part of your mind that is sane and not insane, the loving part of you, which is realer than your ego, is as vigilant as the ego to the call of danger, opposing your idea of danger with love, strength, just as your ego welcomes the idea of danger. My fearful mind loves the idea of being in danger. That's his favorite thought. What's going to happen to me next? Anybody familiar with that thought? What's going to happen to me next? That's the appeal to danger. Well, do you realize how much we appeal to danger? You know, what's going to happen to me next? I wonder what's going to happen with that person. I wonder what's going to happen with this situation. I wonder what's going to happen to me. I wonder, you know, the call to danger, call to danger. Danger, danger, danger. Danger, danger, danger. Danger, danger, danger. Come, danger. Come. I'm asking for it all day long. I wonder what's going to happen to me next. I wonder what person's out to get me. I wonder what I got to be careful of. I'm so afraid. You know, now I got to be afraid of the bird flu. It's like, come on, y'all, not another floor. We have got to do better with our creativity. Come on, y'all. We have got to stop this stuff. We are children of God, pretending that we're bodies going amok. Okay. You know.
Well, I would like to say that, that, you know, right now the media and all of that certainly does propagate a very fearful society. And that's, you know, I mean, I choose not to listen to the radio, read the newspaper, or watch the news, because I just find it easier to maintain the truth of who I am.
And that's the reason why you should do it. Any other reason? I wouldn't support it. If you think that's what's best for you, then that's exactly what you need to do, because your purpose is peace. And it's only your, the Course says, it's just the purpose that matters, and how you go about fulfilling the purpose, that's, you know, that's your own personal guidance. That's why, you know, what might be cool for you might not be cool for somebody else. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I like about, like, letting people tell me what their path is. And I do that by listening to them and hearing how they decided to have peace. And then I see if I can support that. Then, so then it's just a matter of me, like, just supporting people being on their path rather than me trying to make one up for them and then forcing them to follow it, like my old plan. I'm going to tell you, you know what I'm saying? You're here to fulfill my fantasy, and I'm going to tell you what you need to do, and I'm going to make you feel guilty if you don't do it. And then I'm not going to treat you right either. I love you. It's so funny. So now check this sentence out here. It says, the Holy Spirit encounters your ego's welcome of danger by welcoming peace. So here it goes. Every time you feel threatened, or you have, the Course says, you know, you have the call, you have something that makes you feel afraid, the appeal to danger. Okay. He says there's a part of your mind that's welcoming the fear, and then there's a part of your mind that every time you feel like you're in danger, it welcomes safety and peace. So right now I'm worried about something. There's a part of my mind that's welcoming peace about that, and there's a part of my mind that loves the fear and conflict I'm getting out of it. Okay? He says, eternity and peace are closely related. Time and war are closely related. Of course it is. Who would want to have eternity if it wasn't going to be peaceful? Who wants to live forever in conflict? So peace and eternity have to go together. I don't want to live forever owing MasterCard. I don't want to live forever going through pain or fear. Who wants that kind of eternal? So the Course says peace and eternity are related, and time and conflict, the war, are related. I think that's true. I noticed that I'm in time, but this is also where I've had conflict. So it looks like time and conflict do hang around each other. War and time do hang around each other. Peace and eternity hangs around each other. Okay? So your perception derives this meaning from relationships, and the relationships you accept are the foundations of your beliefs. So the foundation of your belief is nothing but the meaning you give your relationships. How you see relationships are the foundation of your beliefs. How you see relationship is the foundation of your belief. The separation is merely another term for a split mind. So when I say that I am separate, what I'm saying is I have a split mind, and you better be aware of it. I have a mind that can express love, and I have a mind that can express anger. I have a split mind. I think I'm separate, so therefore I have a split mind. So if anybody that I think is separate and anybody that thinks they're separate from me, I automatically assume they got a sane part of them and they got a nutcase part of them. Everybody I look at with a body, I say they have a loving part and they have a fearful part. They have a split mind. How do I know that? Because they are separate. So my relationship with you is going to come from the meaning I give my relationship with you. So if I see you as separate from me, then that's going to be the foundation of my belief in our relationship, and we will never join. Because the way I think I'm experiencing you in a relationship, that is the foundation of my beliefs. And if I think you're separate from me, the foundation of my belief is separateness, which means I have a split mind. So now sometimes Earl's going to be really cool to be around, and sometimes Earl might be somebody you might have to forgive. Because I'm separate. I have a split mind. And a special relationship is two split-minded people coming together. Experiencing their split separately. Together. I know, that's what, I know, man. It's like, I know it.
Do that again.
That was a trip. I already went through me. Was that trying to trip me out when it went through me? People react to me as if I'm most sincere when I'm not trying to be. That's the weirdest thing to start happening. When your sincere stuff starts coming through and you really just being yourself, I mean for real, people will react to you every single time. And usually the way they'll react is with some form of joy. They'll either laugh and you go, what did I do? Or you'd be thinking, what did I say? It was a moment when you expressed yourself without thinking about what you were going to say first. It was a moment you expressed yourself without wondering what another person's reaction to your expression was going to be. It was a moment when you actually were yourself. And as soon as that happened, everybody responded in total reaction to you because they could feel you, because you can feel it. It's so cool. And it's just starting to happen to me, you know, that, you know, people like me and I don't know why. Okay. So he says the ego is the symbol of separation, just as the Holy Spirit is the symbol of peace. So we said the ego is fear, right? He said the Holy Spirit is love. So fear is the symbol of separation, and love is the symbol of peace. What you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. The Course in Miracles doesn't read linearly to me. The Course in Miracles reads in a circular manner. Watch this. What you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. What you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. What you perceive in others, you are strengthening in yourself. What you perceive. See, I could go on and on in that circle. What you perceive in others, I said again, what you see in others, you are strengthening in yourself. Now, is there anybody in here that doesn't understand that statement? Isn't that amazing? Every one of us understand this statement. What I don't like is what I'm seeing in others. Because I don't want to believe that's what I'm strengthening in myself, if most of the stuff I see in other people is stuff I don't like. Yeah. So if I'm one of these people walking around all day criticizing everything, judging everything, and seeing something wrong with everybody, then I walk up on a universal law like this. I'm not going to want it. I'm not going to want to believe this. Why in the world would I want to believe that the crappy way of I'm seeing things, I'm making that stronger in myself? I don't want to believe that. If I'm really a fearful person, I don't want to believe the truth. Because that's just too scary. To think the way I treat everybody is the way I'm going to be treated is scary if I'm not treating people really good. Sure. Yeah, people in fear and conflict, they don't particularly like the truth. So the Course says the part of you that doesn't practice the truth feels miserable when it hears the truth. Okay? You may let your mind misperceive, but the Holy Spirit lets your mind reinterpret its own misperceptions. Okay, you may let your mind misperceive. I might let myself misinterpret. I might let myself see things the wrong way. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
But your sane mind, the Holy Spirit, lets your mind reinterpret its own misperceptions. So I love you, so I'm going to let you reinterpret your own misperceptions. I love you, so I'm going to let you reinterpret the way you were seeing things. I love you, so I'm going to let you reinterpret the way you're seeing that. See, I used to think it was my job to get somebody else to change the interpretation of me. Now, I don't care how you see me, I'm going to love you. I'm going to let you change your perception of me whenever you feel like it. In the meantime, I'm going to be having a good time. Okay, when you decide to change your mind about Earl Purdy, that's great. I love you. I'm not going to do nothing to interfere with that. I'm not going to send you a bomb in the mail. You know what I'm saying? I'm just going to let you, whenever your spiritual evolvement gets you to the point that you want peace enough to change your mind about me, then I know that'll be the right time for you to do it. And in the meantime, I'm going to love you by doing nothing to interfere with that process. I love you. I'm not going to interfere with your own healing process. I'm not going to even try to speed it up for me.
That's good.
I love that. It's like in the Course in Miracles when they say you do not have to do anything.
No.
You don't have to do anything. I love that. It's just so like, thank God.
And some people think that means you don't need to go to work and then they get put out their houses, though. I've seen Course in Miracles students do that too. They think that you don't need to do nothing literally and they stop going to work and they stop going, you know, and then they get, I'm serious. That's how people do this kind of stuff. That's how much their ego got them. I could tell you some stories of 25 years of doing this that were just, you know, that would make you shake in your boots. As well as get thrilled. I'm serious. The length that people will go to undo themselves sometimes is amazing. They'll even take the most loving material you could ever imagine and figure out a way to crucify themselves with it. It's amazing to watch people do that. They take the most loving stuff they can hear, and then, like he says, my fearful ego identity becomes strong in strife and conflict. So my separate self needs me to be in a certain amount of fear in order to maintain itself. Because without my fear of you, I would join with everyone in this room. The only thing that stands between you and me is the fear we have of each other. That's it, y'all. Y'all can say anything else you want to be. The only thing that stands between me and you joining right now is the fear you have of me, the distrust you have of me, the feeling that you don't know me completely, that I'm not really you. That's why we have secrets. That's why we have private thoughts. That's why we're not, you know, all looking at each other, smiling and laughing and winking our eyes. You know what I'm saying? You know, because I'm scared of you. You know, you might be a psycho. I wink my eye at you and you're peeping in my room at night. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But the point that I'm making is that we have some idea of being in danger would have to be the reason why we don't join. If I really felt safe with you, I simply would not be afraid of you. Too obvious. But I need to keep a certain amount of fear in order for me to maintain my sense of being a separate Earl Purdy. Because I can't be a separate Earl Purdy from all of you. So I got to look at differences between us in order to maintain this aspect of myself that I think is Earl Purdy. So it's just built into the system that I got to see you as separate from me in order to have my separate identity.
Just why do you need to have that?
That's the whole point of the book. I don't. That's what all my problems is rooted in. The fact that I think I'm separate. That's what, exactly what the Course is saying. It was an experiment gone awry. The Course describes this as like it was an error. You know, any world of fear is an error. Anywhere you could be hurt or where you could even think you could be hurt, the Course says, it's an erroneous perception. It's an error. And that, I like that. That sounds sane to me. It never made sense to me that God would have created me vulnerable. It doesn't make, I don't care how people try to explain that, you're going to become stronger. See, that's what he said. To the ego, you become stronger in strife. You become stronger by putting yourself in fearful, challenging situations. And people who believe that, they call to conflict to come to them, to give them the experiences they need to grow.
But how often when we're going through a tough patch in our life do people say to us, just think how strong you're going to be when you come out on the other side?
And that's what,
and I tell myself that.
That's right. That's exactly what I said about The Course in Miracles. It's an amazing book to me. It's when it says to us what we think, and then we get a chance, the Course says, as long as we get bits and pieces of our thinking, it makes sense to us. But it also says that when our entire thought system is presented to us in one piece, we think it's, we see it for what it is, crazy. You know, like it makes sense to take that individual sentence and say, oh, I'm really going to become strong in this. See, taken alone, that makes perfect sense. But if someone said, well, what you just said to yourself is, I need to have some conflict come to me so I can be strong because I grow strong through strife. You go, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. So I'm not, so when I share this, it's not that I'm trying to get anybody to believe anything that I'm saying. So please keep in mind that I don't have a personal investment hardly at all in whether or not you believe what I say. What I love is getting an opportunity to share it. That's what gets me off. The Holy Spirit is the perfect teacher. And when you're dealing with a perfect teacher, you're dealing with someone that uses only what your mind already understands. So if you're dealing with, if you're a really smart teacher, then what you do is you use what the people that are listening to you, what their mind already understands. I'm going to use what you already understand to teach you that you don't even understand what you think you understand. I'm gonna take what you understand and tell you that you don't teach you that you don't even understand that. Mm-hmm. You know, we think we're here. Like part of us would defend being in a separated world. Okay, but you still don't know nothing about that. Can you make a tree? You know what's gonna happen 2 hours from now? This is what the course is saying. Even if you think you're here, you still don't understand it. But if I'm a good teacher, I'm going to use what you already understand to teach you that you don't understand it. So what does that mean? It means the Holy Spirit, the part of you that loves you, your sane mind, your spiritual identity, can deal with you, a reluctant learner, without going counter to your mind. So I can deal with somebody who's reluctantly receiving something from me without trying to go counter to the way they think. Okay, here's the way you think, right? And you fight me every inch of the way. You don't believe a doggone thing I'm saying, okay? Okay, if I'm in my Holy Spirit mind, I just bypass that part of your mind and go straight to your Holy Spirit mind. We don't even deal with your ego at all. My same mind goes straight to your same mind and don't even deal with the insane part of you. I love that. You know why? Because there's a part of my mind that's still for God and love. There's a part of my mind that still wants to have peace in my life. And he says, there's a part of your mind that wants to have peace and love in your life too. So what I do is I take the part of my mind that wants to have a good time and have peace and have safety and have security. I take that part of my mind and guess what? I assume you got a part of your mind that's the exact same way. And I try to join with that part of your mind. And I don't even deal with the part of you that's reluctant. So you can tell when a person is beginning to wake up because they'll let everybody around them say whatever they want to say, no matter how egotistical that it is, because they're not paying any attention to it. And that's how you know that they've overcome the ego. They just don't pay no attention to it. They look right at you. And all they're doing is doing with the part of your mind that wish you weren't talking about it.
Cool.
You know, that sounds, but we have to hear these ideas before we can see it. In other words, this book is introducing us to a part of our mind that we are not aware of. But it has to be introduced so that you have to be introduced to me. Right? And when you first get introduced to me, you don't know me, but at least you get introduced to me, so now you can begin to know me. We've been introduced to ideas that we will begin to know as we get to know them better. But we think we have to believe the idea as soon as we get introduced to it, which is just like you feeling like you need to invite me home as soon as you meet me. You know, it wouldn't make it right. It could take a minute, but you did get introduced to me, and that was the start of the process. So the Course in Miracles is introducing us to new ideas. And then we're freaking out because we think we need that our understanding of them makes them true. Or my acceptance of it makes it, like it's not true unless I accept it. That's my approach to stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you say to me, it's not true unless I say it is.
Right.
And the Course is saying, I'm not going to break this to you, Mr. Arrogant, but... And their things are true whether you believe they're true or not. Your beliefs don't have anything to do with what's true. Sorry, what's true is going to operate whether you believe it or not. That's so cool to know.
Yeah.
Oh, that just that turns me on to know that something loves me more than I can interfere with. And that it turns me on to know that if people are going off around me, I can just take a minute and go, you know, there's a part of their mind that really wants to be free of this conflict, and it's a part of my mind that wants to be free of conflict. So I'm going to want to try, I want to join with that part of your mind. And that's what I'm saying in my mind silently while they are saying this stuff that makes them afraid, because I know what they're doing is all they're really trying to do is reinforce their separate identity by keeping the idea of danger and fear going in their mind so they can think they're separate. I know that it really doesn't matter what they're saying. They're just trying to keep themselves afraid enough to stay separate from me.
That's so good, girl.
Oh, I'll tell you, 25 years, it's funny to me that people would think after 25 years of studying this that I think like most people. When you know you spend a lot less time and you think totally different. You know, pack 25 years on top of that. And you see my mind is out there. But
we know that.
You really don't. No, you don't. Trust me.
Okay.
Trust me. But I'm glad you gave me that kind of permission. I really am. The only point that I'm making is that there's an easier way of looking at everything we're looking at. And our biggest challenge is going to be loving ourselves enough to accept the easier way. Mm-hmm. And this is the challenge. Can you accept the easier way?
I want to.
Okay. Let me go on. This is going to get deeper.
Okay.
Like I said again, you may let your mind misperceive, but the Holy Spirit lets your mind reinterpret its own misperceptions. The Holy Spirit is the perfect teacher. So instead of saying Holy Spirit, you could say the perfect teacher uses only what your mind already understands to teach you that you don't understand it. The perfect teacher can deal with a reluctant learner without going counter to his mind, because you see, part of your mind is still for God. So despite the ego's attempts, despite the fearful part of you, despite the upset part of you, despite its attempts to heal the part of, to conceal the part that is still for your peace. I said again, the purpose of your fear is to conceal the part of your mind that really wants love. The purpose of your fear is to hide the part of your mind that still wants you to be happy. I love that. Woo! He says, it is still much stronger than your fear, although your fear doesn't recognize it. So, the part of you that you're trying to hide from yourself is stronger than any of your fears. But you don't recognize it. I said again, there's a part of you that's stronger than your weakness, but you don't recognize it. There's a part of you that is stronger than your greatest fear, but you don't recognize it. So it's normal that we don't recognize it. I'll say it again. Because I'm sitting in these classes hearing about my higher self and this greater self, and I don't always see that joke, and I wonder where it is. Do you? Sometimes wonder where this great, magnificent self is that you hear about. And that's what he's saying. He's saying that there's a part of you that has the job of concealing the part of you that's really cool from you. So that you can stay afraid and make yourself think you're separate from everybody. I know you swear you don't see that on that page, but it's there. Then it says, I like that. He says, my ego does not recognize it. There's a piece that despite the ego's attempt to conceal this part that's still for God, the part that's still for God is still much stronger than the ego. Although the ego doesn't recognize that the part of you that's still for God is stronger than the ego. But your Holy Spirit recognizes that the part of you that's still for God is stronger than the ego perfectly. Because the part of your mind that's stronger than your ego is where the Holy Spirit, your perfect teacher, dwells. In other words, the place in your mind where God is at home is the part of your mind that knows that God is stronger than any of your fears. So God's home in your mind is in the part of your mind that knows you only want God. I want love. That's the home of the Holy Spirit. It's the part of your mind that recognizes it still wants love. That's where spirit lives. Not in the part of your mind that don't think you deserve it. Mm-hmm. But the part of your mind that doesn't think you deserve to be happy can't recognize the part of your mind that wants to be happy. That's why it asks endless questions about it but can never see it. That's why the ego asks endless questions but it can't perceive any meaningful answers. That's why, you know, the ego part of me will ask one question after another and not one answer that I receive will make any sense to me. That's how you can tell it's your ego asking the question. When your ego asks the question, the answer has no meaning. You get the answer and it'll be... And then your ego says, see, stupid? You know, why didn't you get that? And what this book is telling me to understand, I used to identify with that part of me as being Earl. And now the Course has taught me that it's not Earl, it's just a thought in your mind. But you used to think this was you. You thought you were the cup. And then all of a sudden, you get the Course, you go, wow, I'm not my ego. I'm not my fears. I'm not what you all think I am. I'm not what I think I am. I'm not any of this stuff I was made up to be. Wow, I'm not my ego. Wow, I got mad today. Oh, wow, the part of my mind is trying to keep itself separate from God by keeping some conflict going, trying to make me afraid today. The part of me that's trying to keep me thinking I'm separate from love, he got mad today. So that's when you start talking to yourself. You can end that part of you that wouldn't let you have peace come to you when you're upset. See, when you get into the real world and you reverse your perception, every time you get upset, something's going to come to help you out. In other words, when you call for help, somebody's going to answer. That's where it is in the real world.
Sure.
And you're getting the help is not going to be determined by how much you deserve it in your own eyesight.
Thank God. Mm-hmm.
It's going to come to you whether you think you deserve it or not. And it's going to piss you off.
It's going to piss me off?
Yes. You're going to do everything you can at first to, you know, do everything you can at first to sabotage it, run it away, and run away from it. You're going to run away from love when it first shows up, probably. I'd gamble on that, like 99%. That when it shows up, because remember, he just told us that to the part of us that believes that fear is its existence, harmony is threat. So if my whole identity and my whole life is built around my fear, well, without my fear, I don't know who I am, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know how to judge, and I don't know how to deal. Because all my judgments have been around my fearful thoughts and perceptions and beliefs. I'm the ego. So you give me nothing but peace, I don't know how to deal with nothing but peace. You give me total safety, I don't know how to deal with that. So to the part of me that believes life is conflict, any kind of answer or love is a threat to its existence. And it'll be attracted to the people that give it conflict, and it'll be repelled by the people who are peaceful and loving. That's the way it is for a fearful man. Anybody relate?
No.
Okay, you with me on that? How many of y'all experienced that?
Yes.
Yeah, that you knew in your heart you had this really loving purpose and you watched people just react with total fear or disinterest. But when you think back to the old days when you were more of a drama person, it looked like you had a larger social life.
Absolutely.
Like before you got into this stuff, there was more people, you know, you had a birthday party, it'd be like, you know, a bunch of folk there. Now you'd be, now you have to hire somebody.
One day.
I'm part-time birthday party guest for hire. So if y'all need me to celebrate y'all, I said Visa MasterCard.
Celebrate.
Don't lose your sense of humor. Isn't this book deep?
Oh, yeah.
Isn't this book deep?
Uh-huh.
He says, I said it again, he says, the Holy Spirit recognizes it perfectly because it's its own dwelling place. The place in the mind where the Holy Spirit is at home, that's where the Holy Spirit lives. And that part of your mind is the part of your mind that still wants your happiness, that still wants God. You are at home there in that part of the mind that God is too. Because in that part of the mind where God is, in your part of the mind where truth is, in the part of your mind where love is, that's a place of peace. And peace is of God. That's how you know you're hanging around God, because you will feel peace. That's a clue that God is around, because your peace is actually coming from God. And God is located in a part of your mind that wants God. And guess what? You are there too. There's a part of you that lives in a place that always wants your happiness. Whew. You who are part of God, love this, you who are part of God, are not at home except in God's peace. You who are part of the peace are not at home except in the peace. If you're part of the peace, you're not going to be at home unless you're in the peace. If you're part of it, you're not going to be home unless you're in it. If peace is eternal, okay, if peace is eternal, if real peace is of God, God lasts forever, so peace lasts forever, because God lasts forever, so peace lasts forever. Well, the book says so beautifully, if peace is eternal, you are at home only in eternity. You're only going to feel that you're at home when you're in peace, always. You're only going to feel comfortable like you're at home when you're in peace, always. And there's a part of your mind that is stronger than the part of your mind that's in conflict, and it only wants peace for you, always. Okay, I'm finished. And so, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to do a little quick review at the end. Kind of like recapped a little bit what we talked about. What do you think about that statement that perception, that your relationships get their meaning? The foundation of your beliefs are your relationships and the way you see relationships. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you for sharing with me. I appreciate that. I appreciate you sharing with yourself and taking this stuff in. And your money from God supports me in this ministry, and we can keep giving to each other. I love hearing the Course in Miracles with you.
I love
you letting me take 25 years of obsession and share it with you. I do.
Thanks for sharing it.
Yeah, because when I look down on the page, I said the Holy Spirit is a perfect teacher, and I said, okay, all of a sudden I know what the characteristics of a perfect teacher is. So I need to know when I walk up on a perfect teacher. I need to know what their characteristics are. Well, that's somebody who's not going to be going counter to me, that's going to be using what I've already learned to help me go beyond it.
Uh-huh.
So I know what I'm, you know, a perfect teacher is not somebody that's opposing my beliefs.
Right.
A perfect teacher isn't even dealing with my beliefs.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, that's so cool. Let me pass the bag. That'd be cool too.
Okay, I really do thank you from the up inside down, up and down, back parts of my heart.
Anybody, while we're doing that, and thank you, Holy Spirit, I'm sustained by the love of God. Anybody have an aha moment out of today's class?
To join with the loving mind when there's conflict.
That kind of bypass their ego. There's a part of you that I know wants peace in this situation as much as I do. I want to join with the part of you that wants peace in this situation as much as I do. See, that's what you're telling yourself mentally when you're in a disagreement. I want to join with the part of your mind that wants peace as much as I do right now. Where I used to focus on the thing I thought we were arguing about.
Mm-hmm. Even like when you're in conflict with yourself, you can go.
Same thing.
I don't want to listen to that part of my mind.
And think of what an incredible level of consciousness you must be on to even think that you have that choice.
The other one was where I can, when people are, I'll say, going off,
uh-huh,
that, and I wish they weren't. that you're saying to join with.
Yeah, you want to join. You want to join with a part of their mind that still wants the peace. Because, but you got to assume there is a part of their mind that still wants peace. That's the part of it that the Course in Miracles freaked me out about. It was like having the willingness to even consider that there's a part of your mind that really wants the peace, even though it looks like you are very upset right now.
It's part about being too nice to look at all the parts of yourself.
Yeah, being too nice to look at all the parts. I love people. I like to be around people who are ready to look at their shadow because they're much safer.
Well, I guess that'll get the part of being too nice. I mean, because I look at myself and I consider that a nice thing to do to myself. So it's not a matter of being too nice. It's a matter of being nice enough.
What I mean by too nice is that part of you that you're so invested in seeing yourself in a positive way that you can't entertain that you may have fearful thoughts in your mind that need to be dealt with.
Or that you may have a smile, right?
I think you're doing it. I think you're protecting your nice self. That's what I was just saying.
You think I'm protecting my nice self?
No, I think you're protecting your nice self.
Well, I don't...
And that's not an attack. I'm just saying that I think you're protecting your nice self. I think it's important. I think because you're defending the nice self.
No, I'm just saying I don't understand that. For me, I consider it me being nice to myself to take a look at myself. Rather than, so maybe I don't understand what you're saying.
And that's why you know it really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because the part that I don't understand is the part the Course says I shouldn't focus on. Because in the end, it's just semantics. That's the only thing that... You know how I know that? Because you and me both have the same purpose. We're both here together because we want to have peace. So I know that anything else that comes up between us is just words. And don't even matter. You know, even though I want to hear what you got to say and you want to hear what I got to say. Does that make sense to everybody?
Yeah.
It's like the fact that we are joined in our purpose means we got the important part covered. The rest of it is just, you know, the fluff. That's just the, you know, the game. That's just the entertainment portion of the program. But what I was saying was, and we know another thing that's really cool is to realize that however you say something, there's always somebody who needs it just the way you said it. And the way you said it made perfect sense to them, and it gave them an answer. Like there were some people who heard what I said, and the way that I said it was exactly what they needed to hear to make them aware of something. Okay, those would be the people who that was the answer for. And that wouldn't be true for everybody. You follow what I'm saying? It's only true for the people that it applies to. And the people that it applies to, and they're conscious of it, they go, yeah, right. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then if it's something you don't relate to at all, then in that instant, that doesn't apply to you. That's for you in that moment, that doesn't apply to you. And that's perfectly okay, too. So there's somebody that's being healed by everything you say, just the way you say it, when you're being honest in the moment. They needed it just like you said it, exactly the way you felt it in that moment.
When can we say that we're only ready to hear? We only hear what we're ready to hear.
I guarantee you I believe that's true.
Yeah.
That's the only thing we hear is what we're ready to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And growing spiritually to me just means having more and more of a willingness to receive more. That's all we're doing. We're just increasing our willingness to learn. We're just increasing our willingness to let the new thoughts come in. Okay, here we go.
You cannot understand yourself alone. Because if you're anywhere other than your rightful place, you can't understand yourself. And your rightful place is in peace and love. So if you're not in peace right now, if you don't feel love right now, it just means you don't understand yourself right now. So if you feel afraid, just tell yourself, I don't understand myself right now. In this situation, I don't understand myself right now. With this person, I just don't understand right now. And that's powerful. Because unless you allow yourself to be in your rightful place, and your rightful place is God, is love, you won't understand yourself. If you think you deserve anything other than love, you don't understand yourself. If you think you don't deserve to be peaceful and happy and joined and fulfilled, it just means you don't understand yourself. This is your life. This is your eternity. This is yourself. And your real self only sees your loving self. Your real self only sees your loving self. And your loving self is much stronger than the part of you that's afraid. And there's a part of you that only wants your safety always. But to the part of the man that's afraid, peace can be its greatest threat. So be aware that the part of your mind that's afraid has a vested interest in keeping you in conflict to maintain itself. But there's another part of your mind that wants peace for you always. And that part of your mind is stronger than the part of your mind that worries you. That part of your mind is more powerful than the part of your mind that causes concern. And that part of your mind lasts forever. It's up under the fear. It's up under the concern. It's behind the anger. There's a part of you that's just as vigilant for your safety and happiness as there's a part of you that's not. Let go of the idea of danger as soon as you can, by siding with the idea of your own happiness. Choose for your peace. Make that stand today. Next class, me and Thursday at 7.
What?